seeking the Lord's help this afternoon, I direct you to Joshua chapter 1, and in particular verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And we look at these two verses under the title, The Way to Go. As we come towards the end of August, our thoughts may inevitably start to turn to the way ahead. For some, thoughts may be turning to the approaching season of autumn. For others, thoughts will be turning to the new academic year that is on its way. And for all of us, a new season of the year approaches. And for some of you, a new chapter in life beckons. Some in our families are due to go to university for the first time. Others may be moving on to new schools or new classes or new lessons. And whilst the new academic year is still 2 weeks away for school and 5 or 6 for university, we cannot help but have such things on our mind. A time of change is approaching for many of us. Sometimes the approach of change is more difficult to handle than the change itself. Many of us naturally worry about the future. We have our fears, our concerns, our doubts. And yet often when we get to the change, it comes more easily and works out better than we had hoped. Although, of course, sometimes the reverse may be true, and times of change may be more challenging than we expected. And the Lord knows how we may feel as change approaches. And the Lord knows how we may feel when we actually enter into times of change. He understands the human mind and constitution. God is intimately acquainted with our feelings and our thoughts. The psalmist reminds us concerning God that he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And in Psalm 139, the psalmist declares, thou understandest my thought afar off. And from the passage before us, it is abundantly clear that God understands how we feel when we enter into a new season of life. God realizes that change can pose a challenge to us because we are often fearful and we can struggle to cope with change. God recognizes also that we don't know the future. And of course, fear of the unknown can be challenging for us to face. And it's evident from this passage that Joshua was concerned about the future. For 40 years, Moses had led the children of Israel across the wilderness. He'd taken them from the land of Egypt to the east bank of the River Jordan. He'd been a faithful servant of God. He had led the people with courage and determination. Above all, Moses had been a man of prayer. Who can forget how passionately he interceded with God on behalf of the Israelites when they turned aside from worshipping God? Moses had been the figurehead for as long as most of the children of Israel could remember. Many of them had no memories of Egypt. All they had known was the wilderness. But before them lay the land of Canaan. Some who were older would have had childhood memories and teenage memories of Egypt. They could recall a little of the slavery that their parents had endured. But Moses had been their leader, He was the one who had directed them under God. And the whole of the book of Deuteronomy, at the close of his life, Moses had given them a potted history of their journey so far. He'd given them faithful instruction. He had given them warnings as to what would happen if they departed from God. And God had magnified this man before their eyes. He was respected. His commitment to God was unquestionable. His relationship with God was something extraordinary. We read at the end of Deuteronomy 34, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." Moses' knowledge and experience were unsurpassed. Moses is described in the title of Psalm 90 as a man of God. Yet Moses was now dead. This man who had enjoyed a unique and close relationship with the mighty God was no longer present. His spirit was with God who had made it, and his body was laid to rest in a secret grave unknown to anyone but God and the angels of God. A grave unknown to prevent it from becoming a shrine that would detract from the worship of the living God. Deuteronomy 34 brings one remarkable chapter in the life of the children of Israel to a close, and yet another was opening with a new leader, Joshua. Now Joshua was not new to the children of Israel. He'd been one of the spies sent some 40 years earlier to spy out the land of Canaan. Of the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb had brought back a good report. Only these two men had encouraged the people to go up and take the land with God's help. Joshua had also worked for Moses as his servant. Joshua had been alongside Moses from the days in which the Lord had given the law on Mount Sinai. For years he'd watched Moses at work. He'd seen Moses giving judgments. He'd seen Moses very angry after the children of Israel had worshipped the golden calf that Aaron made. Joshua had seen Moses at prayer. He had witnessed Moses speaking to the Israelites. But it is one thing to be the right-hand man to a leader, and another thing to lead. And yet at the death of Moses, Joshua was appointed to lead the children of Israel. Suddenly, the several million Israelites became his responsibility under God. It was now Joshua's God-given task to lead them, to direct them in all matters. It was a daunting prospect, and God knew it. Perhaps you face a daunting prospect, and the future concerns you. You may or may not have had some preparation for it, but it's a new place, a new responsibility, a new task. Well, God has a message for you in our text this afternoon. The Lord has instruction for all of us as we may face a time of change. And the first thing that God commands is be strong and very courageous. The beginning of verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. It's a message that's repeated four times in this chapter. At the beginning of verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. In verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. And at the end of verse 18. Through the speech of the Israelites. Only be strong and of a good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. It's not some soundbite. It's not just a pious saying. Because God has already given Joshua in the preceding verses reasons why he should be strong and very courageous. Because God has given him certain promises. In verse 2, God has declared to Joshua, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them." The task which Joshua has in front of him is one that God has given him to do. Is the task or the role or the study in front of you something that God has given you to do? And many of us can say, yes, God has given me my responsibilities. He has put me in this position. For some of us, God has blessed us with children. It is therefore our God-given task to look after them. God may not have blessed us with children, but with family. Parents and uncles and aunts, sisters and brothers, nieces and nephews. And it may be our God-given task to care for them. We can say, God has placed me in this position at work, with this job. It is my God-given task to carry on in that role and in that place. Some of us can say, yes, God has directed my path to study in this town, in this place. And God promises Joshua, and he gives him the reasons to be strong and very courageous. God builds on that promise to go over the Jordan to the land which he has given them. He says in verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." It's a past promise given to Moses that is now repeated and expressly given to Joshua. It's a promise that God will fulfill his word. And I remind you this afternoon that God's promises do not fail. Joshua could embark on this new role in the knowledge that God promised him success. Now, of course, we have to be careful here, but we can say this. If God has given you a role, a task, a particular course of study to fulfill, he will give you the ability and the resources to do it. The responsibility, whatever it may be, and the job or the studying won't always be easy, but God promises to provide us what we need to fulfill that God-given task. Joshua is given promises, and in verse 5 he's given a specific promise. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Well, the first part of the promise cannot be applicable to everyone. But the following parts of verse 5, "I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee," are promises given to every child of God. And Joshua could be strong and very courageous in the knowledge that God promised to be with him. And if you and I are God's children, and we are fulfilling the roles and responsibilities that God has given us, then God promises to be with us. "I will be with thee." And the assurance given to Joshua was specifically, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Joshua knew better than anyone else living at this point in time how God had been with Moses. He had worked alongside Moses for at least 40 years. And he knew that this promise was a great and precious promise. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." This was a specific promise wonderfully given to me years ago. That as God had been with my father, he would also be with me. But for all of us, the promise of God's presence is what we need. "I will be with thee." We should remember that God has promised to be with us. And when things get difficult, we should cling to that promise. "I will be with thee." Later on, at the end of verse 9, that promise is expanded for Joshua. "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Some of us have had to do far more travelling with our work than we ever expected. But God is with us wherever we go. The Lord's presence is what we need most in the journey of life. And if we are walking obediently in the pathway He has mapped out for us, then we can remind ourselves of God's sure promise, I will be with thee. But Joshua could also take courage and be strong because God had promised, I will not fail thee. What a remarkable promise. And if we belong to the Lord, we can rest assured of this truth. God will not fail you. God will not fail me. God won't let us down. You and I cannot always keep our word. We cannot always be present to help a loved one in time of need. We can so easily make mistakes, or we can get something wrong, and we do. But God's promise is, I will not fail thee. God will not once let us down. He will never make a mistake. He will never get things wrong. Because He's an unfailing God. And Joshua could also be strong and very courageous because God had promised, I will not forsake thee. I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God says, Joshua, I will not leave thee. I'm not going to depart from being with you. I'll always be there for you. I'll be beside you, in front of you, behind you, above you, beneath you. I'll be a wall of fire round about you. I will not forsake thee. And dear child of God, God will not forsake you. He will not let you down. He will not leave you. Therefore, be strong and very courageous. And at certain points in life, we do have to be strong and very courageous. After my health failed in 2014 and again in 2016, I'm always very concerned about the long distance overseas trips such as I've been on this past week. And I have to remind myself that serving God in this way, God will not fail me. God will not forsake me. And some of you face difficulties. You face change of one sort or another. All of us face growing older. And for some of you, growing older means becoming weaker. For some of you, you face going away from home and all that's familiar. Many of us face challenges. But if you're God's child, you can go forth in God's strength, knowing that He has said, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua also needed to be strong and very courageous because he had a significant task before him. That's the essence of verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. It would be no good if Joshua faced this task all weak and floppy and in a defeatist frame of mind. He needed to be strong and full of courage to face the battles that lay ahead. Joshua needed to be strong because he would have to deal with 12 tribes and apportion the land to them once it was conquered. And you and I need to be strong because we have significant tasks before us. We may have studying to do so that we can serve the Lord in positions of usefulness and responsibility. We may have a challenging role to fulfill to the glory of God. Parenthood is challenging. We have young lives to bring up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Caring for others can often be tough. Fulfilling our God-given task can be stretching. So often we're taken out of our comfort zone. And very often it's the Lord who so arranges matters that we are taken out of our comfort zone. But God says to you and to me, only be thou strong and very courageous. There's a further reason why God tells Joshua to be strong and very courageous. And it's given to us in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Joshua needed to be determined and strong in order to observe God's law. God knew that Joshua would come under pressure in certain situations not to follow God's commandments. That's a point in which Saul failed. And the Lord was aware from time to time that Joshua would also come under pressure from the Israelites not to follow God's way, but their own way. It requires strength and determination to live our lives according to God's word. We live in a world that, by and large, doesn't like God's word. And he certainly doesn't follow God's commands. Living according to God's word requires inner strength when our sinful hearts are prone to wander from God's truth. We need courage to follow the Lord in his paths when others seek to dissuade us from a godly way of life. And that's especially true in the workplace and at university. As God's children, as we go forward in life, we are to be strong and very courageous. And then secondly, we are to obey God's word. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The Lord's instruction to Joshua comes to us too. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. God reinforces that instruction at the beginning of verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. None of us are free to depart from God's word. None of us as God's children should be ignoring God's word. None of us should be leaving it to one side. We are to read upon it, think upon it, follow it, as we saw this morning. Whatever age we are as God's children, we should not deviate from following the Lord. We should not depart from God's instructions and exchange them for something else. It must be our daily prayer that we would be kept in God's ways, that he would not allow us to turn to the right hand or to the left. We need to pray for grace to follow the Lord's appointed pathway, resting on his promises, living in his principles. And of course, God gives the reason, doesn't he, here for adhering to the word of God, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If we adhere to God's truth, God says we shall prosper spiritually. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, we see some very important instructions that Solomon has given us by the Spirit of God in Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 1 to 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In the coming months and years, a number of you will be leaving home to go to university for the first time. Don't forget God's word. Don't forget what your parents, your pastor and others have taught you from the Bible. Because if you follow God's word as his child, he will prosper your way. Of course, the prosperity that is uppermost in God's mind here is spiritual prosperity. Although it's true the children of Israel would enjoy a measure of material prosperity in entering the promised land, they took over the carefully tended land and the fruit trees and the vines that the Canaanites had planted. The Lord does not necessarily promise us here in these verses a great deal of material prosperity. It doesn't necessarily promise us abundant success in our professions. But God has in mind that if we keep to his word, he will bless us with spiritual prosperity. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What's God saying to Joshua here? He's saying, immerse yourself in my word. Spiritual leaders and gospel ministers are especially commanded to do it. Paul writes to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And yet all of God's children need to be acquainted with God's word. A knowledge of the Bible and the application of that word to our lives is the way to make our lives spiritually prosperous and successfully spiritual. It has to be said that among professing Christians at large, there is a woeful lack of Bible knowledge. So many don't read the Bible systematically. We need to read all of the Bible. We need to read God's word in its entirety. It's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I was very struck in one of my meetings in the past week in the USA. I was speaking to a man who was originally from India. He's now living and working with his family in the USA. But he said that his mother was converted through reading Matthew chapter 1. She was brought up as a Hindu with all its gods. But there's no history for most of those gods. So when she came to read about the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was impressed upon her mind that here was a real person with a traceable family history. Even the bits that we find difficult, and I know that the first few chapters of Chronicles are challenging, and some of the prophets, we need to read it. That all of God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The whole book of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, was not to depart out of Joshua's mouth. Even the difficult chapters, every part, was to be in his mouth and in his memory and at hand to be implemented. It's a good idea to follow a Bible reading plan, and one is found in almost every TBS Bible at the back of the Bible after the close of Revelation 22. And when you read the Bible, chew it over in your mind. If you're able, read the Bible morning and evening. That's what is suggested here, isn't it? By God to Joshua, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Joshua was a busy man. He had a great responsibility for millions of people. God says, meditate therein day and night. Husbands and wives, we need to make sure that we read and pray together at least once per day. Among many families in our circle of churches, daily family worship has been absent for one or two generations. We need to bring it back. Delight yourself in God's word. And God didn't just command Joshua to meditate upon his word, but he adds, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We first need to know what God says before we can do it. A again in another, it's not so much a meeting but a side conversation, one of the men I was meeting with is in the Dutch Reformed churches, and they organise things very differently to what we organise them here in our Baptist churches. But they were interviewing people for membership, and one of the men that came forward couldn't name the Ten Commandments. How much did he know of real religion if he didn't know the commandments of God? We do need to know what God says before we can put it into practice. How can we put it into practice if we don't know it? Joshua was to thoroughly familiarize himself with God's word so that he could put it into practice and use it as the leader of the children of Israel. A good grounding in God's word is so important. A firm grasp of God's word is valuable to counteract the false teaching that abounds. A good grounding in God's word is vital in counteracting the empty philosophies of many people around us. On the plane, one of my many plane journeys in the past week, I was next to a lady about my age reading a word about inner light, and I looked at a few paragraphs. It was utter rubbish, and she was devouring it and underlining it. What was the reason behind Moses' success as a leader of God's people? It was simply this. Moses knew God's word well, and he faithfully sought to put it into practice in every circumstance, no matter what opposition he faced. Moses sometimes faced massive opposition for following God's instructions. It wasn't easy for Moses to face down Dathan and Abiram when they wanted to offer up incense to the Lord. Moses knew God had restricted that task to Aaron and his sons. It wasn't easy for Moses to face the people when they complained and murmured about their situation. It was hard for Moses to deal with his own brother Aaron and his own sister Miriam when they went wrong and did wrong. The New Testament commentary on Moses' life in Hebrews 3 verse 5 declares, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken to be spoken after." What was the recipe of Moses' success? It was the instruction of God to Joshua here in verses 7 and 8. First of all, to be strong and very courageous. And then secondly, to observe, to do according to all the law. How are you and I going to be successful in our spiritual journey in life? It is first of all to be strong and courageous because of God's promises. Because of God's presence. And it is secondly that we obey God's word. Joshua was to do as Moses had done. And then God promises him, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success." God has blessed many of us with godly examples and godly lives to help us. But as we face an uncertain future, if we face change, be strong and obey God's word. Amen.